They ask me why I'm highly regarded as God body, probably. Marge is a mixture of Marcus Garvey, Miles Davis, and Bob Marley. Never skateboard slang like gnarly, more like weed in my whip on a way to get top like Charles Barkley. You are hardly prepared to spar with a marksman, spark me. I'm gambit with the ace of spades, I'm mastering archery. Funicular, particularly the vernacular, specifically the fit, so when I spit it, it's spectacular and accurate. When I attack, I'm more legend than Acura. Flip Bloomberg, the bird, bitch, more blood.
Hello and welcome to episode 41 of the I Want More Comics podcast. I'm Richie.
I'm Sean.
I'm Zach.
Sean got in there first. Well, it looks like we're in a brand new week, so why don't we get started with some news?
So this past week we had a signing with Amy Reeder.
Excellent.
She came in for a couple hours after going to Dink.
Yes.
And I think that the event was pretty successful.
Yeah.
Who is Amy Reeder and what has she done?
Oh, who is it? Oh, yeah, I don't remember. Amy Reeder is actually a store favorite and a local from Denver. She
currently lives in resides in New York.
In New York, yep, and she loves it there. She illustrated one of my absolute favorite comics, Rocket Girl. But she was introduced to me through Batwoman, and I know that she's really known for Xanadu with Matt Wagner, right? Matt Wagner?
Yeah.
And
back in the day, she did Fool's Gold.
Right.
So that was like kind of her first kickoff with Tokyo Pop, which she did. I think it was two books?
Yeah, two books, yeah.
Right.
Unfortunately, those you can't get anymore. They're just way wicked out of print.
Yep.
They have been for years.
That's awesome.
But, and even some of the Madame Xanadu stuff is kind of hard to find.
Yeah, it's tough.
But her art is very, it's kind of a weird mix of American with a little bit of manga in it.
I was going to say, it's got a manga hint for sure. I will say that.
It's pretty dynamic.
Yeah,
I like her stuff.
Her perspective lens is insane to me.
Well, the Supergirl cover she did, and plus like certain shots in Rocket Girl,
Rocket Girl's
amazing.
Crazy. The panelization and the way she sequences fights, it's compelling. It just drives you, you know.
She did that Great Red Sonja variant cover where she's jumping in the air and through the air at you with like this crazy sword, and she looks like she's about ready to kill you.
Right.
This is a really good picture.
It's so good.
Really
and
good piece.
Amy Reeder herself is just ludicrously
cool.
Nice. Yeah. I've met her three times, not in a personal aspect, but like gone to cons and met her as a fan, and every time she was accommodating, interested, and in general warm to everything that I had brought to discuss. And then this time, because I work here now, I actually, you know, we got to chat for a minute, and again, just as nice, just as real as she was as when I was just, can you sign this for me, please? You know, so.
Can I have a nerd moment with you? I just want the nerd moment.
Everybody came down making it super successful. For those that did make it down, thank you.
We were going to try and podcast with her, and it just didn't.
It just did not.
She was cool with it, and it just didn't. It didn't time out, unfortunately, because she was so busy.
We tried.
I felt like every time we were going to try to do it, somebody else came up and was like, "Hey, Andy, blah, blah." I'm like, "Oh, I don't know if we're getting this done."
We're not going to ruin a live experience with an actual guest by
really going to do that.
I had the laptop in my hands. That's how bad we wanted to get a podcast out with her, but it was. It's just, you guys are more important, and that's how it's always going to be. So, thank you for those who showed up. Amy had a great time. A crazy 3 hours it was, and she was gone. We got to meet a great little pup named Tiger.
Her sister's dog, yeah.
Yeah, and that to me was a success. I thought it was great. She's currently doing Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
That's her most recent.
Just ended that, doing illustrations currently to work on or focus more on new Rocket Girls coming. So that's, look out for those.
Look out!
Look out!
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other big thing from, last week was the big controversy for X-Men Gold.
Yes.
What was that controversy?
The basic controversy.
For people living in a stone cave, locked away from society,
right.
What was that controversy?
So the basic thing that happened was Ardian Sayaf, the artist on X-Men Gold, inputted some political messages into the artwork of X-Men Gold. Basically, one was a number, 212, which signified the march that they had in Indonesia against their Christian leader, Muslims against the Christian leader. And then also on Colossus's t-shirt, they had the verses for a passage from the Quran, which says, paraphrasing, no Muslim will have a Jewish person or a Christian person as their leader. And he also put right by Kitty Pryde's head a jewelry store, but the words J-E-W really big next to her. So, I guess he's been doing this for a while. People found out that he's done it in other things. Somebody from Indonesia saw that and called him on it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And caused a huge uproar with people who, you know, don't want that in their comics, don't want anything like that. Marvel has since fired him from X-Men Gold and from their company. They're going back to press for...
Yeah, they redacted all the imagery.
Yep, for the online and for the reprints that they're going to be doing, and you cannot get that book anymore.
Yeah.
So that was a big controversy.
And, yeah, this can happen from time to time, and for me, it was just crazy hearing about it and how quickly those got bought up. And, for a consumer standpoint...
Nothing sells like controversy.
Correct. For a consumer standpoint, it sold incredibly after that, because what you look for in comic books is limited, and that made this super limited because it's a one print run for the originals. Reading the comic before everything had happened, to a layman like me, it wasn't anything at all. I read it and nothing triggered any type of religious aspects or secretive goals or innuendo. None of that hit. It was just a comic book to me. So when it came out, I was like, oh, that's interesting. But
I think the majority of the populace wasn't going to notice the hidden messages in the book.
I think him agreeing to it on Twitter is kind of saying, like, yeah, that's my viewpoint, and I wanted to get out in any way I could, kind of thing. Is
yeah, but using a big corporation's book that's paying not exactly the best way to do that, because you pretty much just ruined your livelihood.
It's pretty cut and dry to me. I think that you can have your own voice, say it. But if you're going to do it under a corporate umbrella, then you need to do what they're paying you to do, and that's, if you can't do that, then sever ties. So
it's like the guy drawing phalluses on, was it Aladdin?
Yeah, there's Aladdin. I mean, there's Lion King.
Yeah, right. People hiding imagery in Disney.
Because, Disney does it all the time. Yeah.
Disney make me angry. I'm gonna do this.
Yeah.
So I mean, unfortunately, he's gone. For those of you that got the comic, I mean, it's a little piece of history now. So enjoy that, and it's unfortunate.
Yes.
That you can't just read an X-Men comic and not get a political.
In this day and age, it's everywhere.
Right. So
pretty much.
You just went on Facebook and blasted it. I mean, like everybody else. Like every self-respecting person that has a soapbox.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what it's for.
Get on your soapbox. Scream, and then everybody's going to go... Well, they're going to have responses, and probably half of them are going to be against anything that you think, and they're going to be on their soapboxes, and it's Soapbox City.
I think
the most clean place is Facebook.
Right.
Soapboxes everywhere.
Yeah.
Soap everywhere.
Wow. Yeah.
The thing is that if he does go off on his own Facebook page, and he said, this is not, this is just me talking, I'm okay with that.
Absolutely fine.
He can continue to illustrate Marvel and do whatever he wants. And you then have the choice to be like, his viewpoints are so drastic that I choose not to follow him on anything he does or support his career. That's fine. But that's okay to do. It's when you do this weird covert, like, subliminal messaging and put out something that isn't the idea of your employer is. That's where you go wrong. So...
Yep.
Goodbye, I guess.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, well, with that, we'll end the news, and we'll move on to the picks of the week.
Excellent.
Picks of the week.
Who wants to go first?
Yeah. I'll go first.
Excellent.
For me, we just got done talking about Gold, so I'll talk about Blue. X-Men Blue came out, and part of...
Who makes this book? Just kidding. It's Marvel Comics.
X-Men Blue kind of takes place with the... Is it the all-new X-Men?
It's going to be, yeah. That's what they call them. The old X-Men that are young that come
correct.
Into the future.
So for me, it grabs me with
say
like...
that five times fast.
It grabs me at my nostalgia core, and I wanted to see where that...
Is that a word?
Story. Yeah. Nostalgia core. I have a core of nostalgia, and it pulled on
nostalgia
it.
Nostalgia core?
Yeah. The core of... Yeah. What? Guys, don't... Anyway, so... You know, you get your characters like Marvel Girl, Cyclops, Angel, Beast, Iceman, and you kind of... It had everything that Gold had, but it had characters...
But it was blue.
Correct. But it had characters, for me, that were... that were... The names mean more to me.
It resonated more because it was more of the...
Resonated was the word I was trying to find.
Characters.
But, yes. This was written by Colin Bunn.
A nerd core, or what was it that you said?
I said nostalgia core.
Whatever.
Why is that so...
Because it's not a thing.
It's a thing. You have a nostalgia core.
No.
You do.
No, I'm nostalgic.
No heart.
I am
no
nostalgic
heart at all.
For things, but I am not...
no heart, but you have a nostalgia core.
Nostalgia coring.
So,
wow.
Cullen Bunn is a self-professed X-Men lover and wanted to bring back the old-time 90s cartoon. Isn't he? He's a cool dude, but he is like... Riding up a storm right now.
I don't care which publishing company it is. I'm going to work for all of you.
Right.
Just all of you. I got stories, yo.
George Molina and Matteo... Oh, man. Buffani? Sorry about the last names there, but are the illustrators?
Yeah, if we butcher names,
it's
profusely apologize.
For me, this is a slightly less serious X-Men than I would say Gold is comparatively. The illustrations also add to that feel. The lines are soft, and the action is very animated. For comparing the two to Blue and Gold.
Yeah.
The characters I enjoy, and I checked out of X-Men, I want to say 6 months, 8 months ago, just because of how convoluted it got, almost with the introduction of all new X-Men.
I mean, technically, it's always been kind of like a crazy
It's always been a mix of crazy, so I just bailed out, and coming back in,
You've been on more recent than I have.
Yeah, every time I jump back into X-Men, something weird happens. Like, the last time I went, I think it was AVX, Jubilee could turn into a vampire or go feral or something, and she could bamf. And I was like, why did that happen, you know? So you have to go back and try to figure out how that happened. In this one, Beast summons, like, some kind of demon circle, and I just don't know how or why he can do that. He sent him, like, through a portal from hell. He
borrowed some of Ileana Rasputin's power?
I have no idea. So I'm going to go find that out myself. So,
Yeah, because I checked out X-Men when the original Uncanny X-Men run kind of decided to end.
Uh-huh.
I was pretty much good.
Right. So yeah, this I feel does take me back to,
nostalgic.
Really solid X-Men. Yes, every time. So, for me, another thing about me about X-Men, and I told these guys and they made fun of me again, is that I like... that was such a lie. Is that I like my X-Men to be matchy-matchy.
And saucy.
I like to have them... I like to have matching suits and stuff.
Saucy X-Men.
For some reason.
So, like a dodgeball team, dodgeball
that's
uniforms.
Absolutely right. That's why
stuff.
I like Ultimates. It's just... I like that...
You're so saucy.
You're gonna go with saucy, but you're gonna blast me on nostalgia core.
Yeah, because it's not a word.
Yeah, it is a word. You can make up words, people.
That's not how English.
Don't let
works.
The Empire define you. Be a rebel. All right. So anyway, at the end of X-Men,
too saucy.
To conclude, the end of X-Men Blue has not one but two.
Two?
Yeah, two
dun, dun,
shocking
dun.
Reveals, which I really enjoyed. I was happy with the first one. They could have ended it there. While I was reading it, and both in Blue and Gold, there was something missing, and I think the Blue is doing its best version of solving that problem without giving anything away.
Blue.
If you haven't picked it up, try it out. If you liked any 90s X-Men, or you're just an X-Men fan in general, I think that as a taste, you should be trying out all these number ones that come out. And speaking of that number one, Zach, why don't you tell us about your pick of the week?
Shut up, Sean.
You're always being saucy at me.
My pick of the week is going to be Weapon X number one, written by Greg Pak, art by Greg Land. Mm. This is going to be the
Greg's book.
Yeah, this is going to be
book by the Greg's.
This is going to be the team that has Domino, Old Man Logan, Sabretooth, Warpath, and Lady Deathstrike in it.
Seems mm-hmm. like a fitting team.
The team is pretty cool, yeah. And that's kind of the fun as a longtime X-Men fan, mm-hmm. as a fan who likes all the X-Men, and it's one of the only books that I have always continuously bought.
Yeah.
Seeing all these different characters.
Not Superman?
I mean, Superman for sure, yes, but...
Superman?
But X-Men is up there as well for me.
Right.
So,
So, real quick, can you, without giving too much away, can you tell us what the premise of this
team
is?
I mean, it's just like all beginning team books, it's going to be them.
Kind of sound really stabby.
Yeah, a little stabby. It's them coming together to figure out kind of a mystery.
Whole thing feels kind of catty.
It's like the
I'm leaving.
It's like the Beatles come together.
And again, like I said, just like all setup books, it's going to be who are these people, mm-hmm. what do they do, what's their, in this case, mystery or purpose.
Right. Why are these groups, this group of people, actually meeting up in this one?
Yeah, yeah.
Because exactly. They don't do that in X-Men Gold or Blue. They just kind of they start running. But with this one, I assume that this is more of like
they're forming a bunch like Ultron.
And Wolverine and Sabretooth don't like each other.
Correct.
So them working together is, you know.
Already I enjoy that Old Man Logan is in Weapon X and X-Men Gold. Absolutely. So he's already two-timing it like a real Wolverine.
Just like a real Wolverine. Well, he is, right now he is
the Wolverine. He is the Wolverine.
Yeah. So, again, and I am a Greg Land fan. Mm-hmm. I know there's people out there that do not like his artwork, but anything that he does I think is beautiful to look at, and it's always clear, crisp, and fun to read, which mm-hmm. I think is good. I enjoy his artwork quite a bit.
Okay.
I think he works very well in the X-Men universe. He's done it for years. He was on Uncanny X-Men. He's done... he's done, actually, the last series of Uncanny X-Men that just ended.
Mm-hmm.
He's done tons of stuff for the X-Men, and I think he works really well with them. You know, it's going to be a slice-em-up, dice them up, darker take. So if you want a darker aspect to the X-Men, which has always been a cool facet, like
yes.
Uncanny X-Force and things like that, this is going to be that book. It's going to be the anti-heroes and the black sheeps getting together to do stuff. So if that's kind of your, you know, you're looking for more of that darker side of X-Men, then this is going to be that book. X-Men Blue and X-Men Gold are going to be the main forefronts. Those are going to be the X-Men and the Uncanny X-Men. If people were reading back in the 90s or the late 80s, uh-huh. that's what those books are. And this one's going to be your offshoot, your X-Force or your New Mutants or anything like that. This is going to be something different. So,
all right.
So again, yeah, mutant love here tonight, but I like it. I think it's a lot of fun, and I'll continue to pick that up.
All right. That leaves us with you, Sean. What do you got?
I don't know anything.
I know nothing.
No, so there's a book that Image just put out called Rose.
Uh-huh.
It's by Meredith Finch and Iguara.
Yeah.
Iguara. Why not?
And Rose, you're following, obviously this is a kind of a fantasy book.
Yeah.
But you're following this this woman named Rose, and she's just barely coming into having like enchanter or magical powers.
Correct.
That kind of thing.
Yep.
But the queen, who is super steeped in it, mm-hmm. has shut that down everywhere.
Right.
So anything that's under her control, if she suspects, because she can feel when people are doing magic, mm-hmm. they level villages.
Right, they straight just up completely just destroy it.
Demolish yeah. them. Because she doesn't, this is issue one, so it's a whole bunch of setup.
Yeah, it's very, very open.
But it's very open interpretation, but I mean, obviously, Rose is the underdog mm-hmm. going to fight the... David yeah. versus Goliath type thing.
Yeah.
In my mind, that's the way it's going to happen.
I read this book as well. I think you did too,
yeah.
right, Zach?
Yeah,
so this was a solid book. Meredith yes. Finch, wife to David Finch, the yep. illustrator. Mm-hmm. The book itself, to me, also has... it was a world of magic wielders with a few warriors who got a companion, a feline companion, like Black Panther or a lion or a tiger.
Yeah.
And those specific animals would enhance their magical or enchantment energies. And this ultimate power essentially wiped that out. And here we're seeing the rise of or a bloom of that coming back with the big baddie none too happy, if you will.
Yeah, not very happy that she's noticing this is happening.
Right.
So she wants to cull this before it actually comes to fruition or before she can be any kind of a challenge.
Yeah.
Or anybody that does magic for that.
Illustrations of Guara.
Fantastic.
Just excellent.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed.
Really good.
Yeah.
I don't know. The pencils are really tight, but they look.
Mm-hmm. The coloring is awesome. Everything.
So, yeah, the coloring definitely sets the mood for this book. So if you get a chance or want to try something a little different, steeped in fantasy,
yes,
I'd say hop on this.
Oh yeah, sure. Absolutely. If you dig even Seven to Eternity,
I was gonna say
Seven to Eternity for me is like just a ballpark,
right?
And that came out this week too, and I straight up was like, I should choose.
If you're not buying Seven to Eternity yet, then that's on you. That's on you now. We've done our part. That is a book.
No, it's actually Richie's fault.
And if you want the issues,
I'm okay with it.
And if you want the issues, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to kill him.
The trade came out.
The trade came out. Maybe you can get that. Yes, exactly.
All right, those are great picks. I think that we gave the people what they want there. Excellent. So I think there's only one last thing to do, which is spinning the racks.
Spinning the racks. Da-da-da, 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 da-da-da. Spinning the racks.
Spin those racks.
So. Tonight's topic that we're going to get into is the DC Rebirth update.
Yes.
As we're recording this.
It's been like a year?
It's almost a year.
Almost.
Next month.
It's been pretty close to a year.
Next month it'll be a year.
Yeah.
So as of this recording, Wednesday, April 19th, 2017, the Batman 21, the button issue, just came out.
That's correct.
And we wanted to talk about it because, you know, now instead of like next week or something is because it's a huge part of the DC Rebirth storyline.
And so many people have asked, like, where's the continuation of the Rebirth? Where is that at? And finally we get to say, right here.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom, check it out.
Exactly. And Geoff Johns, and when they brought that out a year ago, they said that this was a multi-year story.
Correct.
And they said that they were going to hint upon it throughout the year. You know, but it's not a big, at least we don't know yet if it's going to be a miniseries or anything like that. What they're doing right now with the button is only 4 issues, 2 issues of Batman, 2 issues of Flash, and that is, and that's it.
Which is completed in a month.
Next week is the Flash.
We're just going to get our... You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of 90s television, like X-Files.
Because
you have, like, a general story that, like, a really dark story that will progress on X-Files continuously throughout it's the entire show. Right?
Story.
Yeah. While there's still general stories still coming out.
Hey, look, this is a quickie monster story.
Right, here's a monster story.
Or this is a quickie story about this person.
So DC Rebirth comics have been, like, just those stories that are like, here's a sweet little arc. And now we're getting back to, we're on an origin episode, you know? Or, you know, it's buying into that overarching storyline, which builds continuity, which builds consistency, which builds hype. And I love all of those things. So,
yeah,
I'm ecstatic about the book.
Yes.
We were drooling over it many times before it came out. Yesterday, which would have been last Tuesday for those that are hearing this, they put out a Tom King put out a
preview
from GameSpot.com, and that preview had 9 panels and it was 9 seconds, and it just showed a couple little fight scenes between a character and Batman. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not. So I'm not gonna say his name, but it turns out all right, you know what? I'm going to spoil this. So if you haven't read it, go read it and then turn this back on, because it's going to be hard to even explain the hype without it. So they showed 9 seconds, and it's, spoiler, it's Ichabod Thawn, yeah. Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
Fighting Batman.
Yes.
And I thought that that was awesome. And then I read the comic, and the comic book actually has many panels.
And pages, even.
Of this countdown, because he's essentially waiting for Flash to go to the Batcave. And in that minute,
they 11 have... 11 seconds.
Yeah, it's 11 seconds.
Is how long
they have a huge fight. And in the preview, they showed you the ending of the seconds, but... In the comic book, it actually, there's a lot of punches thrown within 1 second. So they're paneling it.
Yeah, like, which was great.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That kind of flavor to me is so, it's sweet. It's sweet.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I mean, the thought that goes into this book was fantastic. And the thing that really got me was the minute I turned the page and it was a 9-panel grid.
Right.
I went, yep, exactly like Rebirth, exactly like Watchmen. Mm-hmm. And that's the point, is that they're going harkening back to the Watchmen.
The other trick aspect. Here is that when does it flip to a 9-panel grid?
After
the button zaps, yep. By the Psycho Pirate's mask.
Yes, yeah. So, which I just thought was brilliant.
Spoilers. Everywhere.
We're slinging spoilers now. You better be gone.
Yeah.
Or listen, and you're fine. We'll tell you everything.
That's right. But I love I made this joke to you, and I said either Geoff Johns wrote this and Tom King put his name on it.
Right, we're trying to figure that out.
Or Tom King, can write just like Geoff Johns.
And that's probably why he liked my pick of the week this week.
What?
Because he didn't write the Batman story.
There you go. And again, I think that's a joke, but they did say that Geoff Johns did have creative input.
We know also this outlined much. It. Geoff Johns is the puppet master. That is obvious for sure. But we're trying to figure out how much Geoff Johns is really manipulating the situation.
Yeah.
When it comes to the story, I feel like Tom King writes it.
Yes.
When it comes to the paneling and certain...
Pacing.
Yeah, the pacing of the thing, I truly think that that's Geoff Johns 100%.
Yeah, because there are things that happen in that, in this issue that is hallmarks of Geoff Johns writing.
Especially writing to expand continuity or bring into...
Yep.
You know that 8 issues from now, maybe a year and a half from now, we're going to look back and go, no way.
Yeah.
And that will be because of Geoff Johns.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yes. And the thing that I love is that it's just such a character study. It's just between these couple of characters. Some of the reviews online and people have been talking about is that it's not epic enough. It's not big world university. Mm-hmm. But
this is kind of a start to a
it is
story.
The start.
Right.
Well, but also that's one of the reasons why
I think after
I want it now.
Well, also, but I think
exposition.
That's one of the biggest things with Geoff Johns' events, and that's one of the biggest things with his writing, and I think with Tom King by himself, is that it's about the characters.
Right.
The characters and the stuff that they're going through is what makes you, well, at least for me, makes me fall in love with it and love what's going on.
Right.
And Geoff Johns has always been about character first and cool planets exploding second.
Right.
That should be in there and that should be fun, but this is a story, and I think that this whole story is going to be pretty self-contained within Batman Flash and within their own universes and what they're doing. I don't think, it's billed as a crossover, but it's a storyline, and it's also a continuation of Rebirth, but it's going to affect everybody, but it's not.
Right.
Like I think the outcome of the storyline...
Well, how many people are going to know that it's even affecting them, too?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is that I don't think that everyone in the Justice League is going to go, remember that button thing you guys did last month? No. That's not going to happen. But...
that'd be amazing.
That would be pretty funny. But it will have repercussions. Because even the ending of the book has some repercussions for the DC Universe.
Repercussions might be the exact tagline. Rebirth itself should be the heading.
Yes.
Everything that has been going on, especially in Geoff Johns' world, he ties into essentially Flashpoint.
Yes.
If you don't want to make the argument that it goes all the way to Rebirth.
Yes.
But... but it's all repercussions of certain actions that happened. Yep. And it's this domino effect just spilling over, and we're reaping the rewards. I think one of the takeaways that everyone should know, we'll get from here, is that during off time, Batman watches hockey.
He does.
That's important.
It's important. Why?
It's important. I think it's important to know that Batman likes hockey.
I was interested that he watched hockey. I was not expecting that.
I wasn't either. He was just sitting there enjoying it.
But again, that feels very either Tom King or Geoff Johns, because Tom King has done that with Batman going to a Batman-themed restaurant.
Yeah.
Or Geoff Johns with his numerous, you know, whatever it is, Green Lantern and Flash going and drinking a milkshake, right. You know, that sort of thing. So that definitely is part of that sort of thing. But if you've been wanting to know, because that's one of the criticisms of Rebirth for people who were not into DC Comics or who got into it just for the Watchmen story.
Right.
I just want to know what's happening with the Watchmen thing. You know, the criticism has been there's not been a lot throughout the DC Comics. And that's true. Not every series has a Watchmen tie-in.
Correct.
Titans has been the biggest thing that has
even the ones that do have it are subtle.
It's very subtle. This is going to harken back to DC Rebirth and the finding of the button.
Yeah.
So if you only care about the Watchmen thing, you have to be reading this
one. And I think that this is also a warning to consistent comic book fans. When these comic books come out, get here and get them, because everybody jumps in on this boat, especially for the overarching story. We sold out of our lenticulars at 3 this afternoon.
I think as of right now, we only have 2 variants. We don't have very many of those left.
And it came out today, people.
And I bet you, once we're done podcasting, we go out there, they're gone.
And that will be a solid 10 hours. We got rid of all of the comics.
And Batman is the comic that we order the most of.
Correct.
Per title.
It is absolutely the most comics we bring in this store.
Order right. For this.
Gone.
And are still
gone.
Yeah, exactly. So
our shelves are new.
They look so bare, like we didn't do it. And it's like, no, we spent so much money bringing that in.
Yeah.
So it is a solid book. Let's talk about the art real quick.
Oh, yeah. Well, holy cow. My gosh.
It's good.
One of the best artists, I think, working in comics right now, Jason Fabok.
Well, so we've been gifted with looking at David Finch.
Didn't Fabok start out as like more of a cover type artist?
Yeah, he was over at Aspen.
I thought he started out as mostly a cover guy, and then he started moving into doing like pages and stuff.
So. Yeah, he did Aspen covers, and he did Aspen interiors, and then DC asked him to come over and help on Justice League.
Well, for Brightest Day, didn't he do that round table setting? Was that Fabok? You know what I'm talking about? Like they were all wearing white and they were all sitting in chairs, and if you put them all together, it looked like they were at a giant round table. Wasn't that Fabok? You're right.
No. That was Ryan Sook.
Okay, so
Fabok did start on Brightest. He did have some Brightest Day stuff.
Well, that's where I first remember seeing his stuff. It was something to do with Brightest Day.
Well,
for DC,
yeah,
anyway.
He did some of it. Yeah,
mine was Batman Inc.
Inc.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did Batman Eternal.
Or no, not Batman. Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah.
The Dark Knight series from...
Yeah.
But I was saying, with Batman, we had David Finch.
Yes.
And I was like, this is just stellar artwork.
He has some of the best stuff he's ever done right now.
Right. And Batman. Then they punctuate it with Fabok after. Oh,
it's...
Goodness gracious.
It's great.
It's upsetting.
I know we say this a lot on the podcast, but when we say this... At least when I say it, I'm being completely honest with you. I think it's worth it for the art alone for that book.
That's interesting, because I'm lying the whole time.
He lies.
Yeah.
He's a liar.
I'm just lying.
I like the artwork.
I'm not a big
Batman reader guy.
Well, yeah.
Jason Fabok is great.
Jason.
Art was good, and the story was, if you like Batman at all, you should just pick the damn book up and read
it. And I think
you should pick up the whole button thing, because when you start off with a 1-2 punch like this, it's going to be worth worth the payoff. Yeah. The ride's gonna be worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a DC fan.
No, I mean, even if you're not a DC fan, probably pick
this up. No, I agree with you on there.
That's what I was gonna superhero say.
That's what I'm trying to say. Superhero comics. I am not a superhero comics reader for the most part. I read some of them here and there. I'll dip in and out.
Yeah.
You know, and try to keep up kind of here and there. But stuff that like grabs my attention, this grabbed my attention when I read it.
Right.
I was like, oh.
Yes.
Okay, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like a total geek out boys like you two.
What?
I mean, you guys are
I feel like him and I are very keeping our composure right now.
DC cheerleaders I think I've ever met.
You have. You should have seen this when you first saw it.
Except for maybe Dio and Jim Lee. I think they're the only ones that top you that I've met that talk about DC. Because talking about them or talking with them about DC, they are like obviously huge cheerleaders. But you guys are close second. And I'm just not
Richie and I are available for an interview. If you would like to just call us, we are willing to go fly out to LA.
That's correct.
I'm a lot of steps back from you guys, but this book did grab my attention and make me want to read.
Zach and I held each other for 3 hours and cried. That's what we did.
And then I hit them with a broom and told them to get back to
yes,
work.
Yes, it was rough on us, but
exactly.
That's kind of what I wanted Sean to weigh in on, was that it's really just a solid book outside of Zach and I's typical fangirling over this stuff. I think the ambition with this story in general, with Rebirth tying it into this and wherever we go from here, is applause worthy. It's
well, and when I was younger, I would have been one of those people when I was in my 20 years ago or whatever, when I was in my 20s, and
you were
having
horseback to the to the comic shops,
whatever, little hands. When I was much younger and I read Watchmen, I was one of those people who was very much like, it's blasphemy to touch this work. This work is perfect the way it is.
Agreed.
But, and I know Alan Moore is very much not with this. I guarantee you he's not okay with any of this.
Oh, you know he's mad.
It is what it is, and it's a property that DC owns, and they're going to do what they're going to do with their property. And the fact that they're finally doing something with the Watchmen characters, which are old, what is it, Charlton characters from back in the day?
Yeah.
Basically, that Alan Moore kind of took and used for this.
Right.
He just wrote a really good story around it that was really all encapsulating, and they're actually doing something with it to make that worth it, they're doing it and to me it seems like a positive way.
I would agree.
So, and I'm much more open to the use of Watchmen characters than when I was 20 years ago, when I was much more closed-minded individual and was like, no, you can't touch that.
Well, and I didn't like the before Watchmen, whatever that was it called, before Watchmen?
They were okay. It was a, hey, these characters are still here. This is kind of what happened before this happened.
Right.
And they were basically trying to do something else with the characters, and it was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't, oh my God, everybody should read this, kind of worthy. But
for me, Geoff Johns is giving it its respect. We haven't really seen anything to do with the Watchmen stuff, and that's just the hum above the...
Oh no, yeah. He's
created a mythos behind it that when we do see it,
so one of the things I absolutely love about Geoff Johns, and one of the things that writers do, and I instantly love them, whoever it is if they take what the fears are or the consensus or the feelings are about a subject and turn that into the story. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that, and I brought this up before, is again, this is just my opinion, but what J.J. Abrams did with Kylo Ren. Everyone said, no one's going to be as cool as Darth Vader. Anybody who tries to be as cool as Darth Vader will be a poser.
Right.
So he made the character a poser.
Right.
Geoff Johns knows, because I think he does too, in his heart, because he's read comics all his entire life, that the Watchmen characters in the Watchmen book is a godlike thing in comic books. Mm-hmm. So he's treating them like godlike creatures.
Correct.
Just like Sean was saying, everyone goes, you can't touch these. You can't. Even Superman is having a hard time figuring out what's going on because they're so out of grasp of what they're going through.
Ebon had a rough time touching it.
Yes, he did. He did.
I saw God.
Exactly. And we can infer who he's talking about, which I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
But, again,
pretty sure I got that one on lockdown.
I think everybody's got that locked. It's kind of burning in the way that...
But that's what I'm saying with the respect and the thing. Yeah. It's not a crossover where they just pop out of a out of a ship and
let's go,
we're going to fight
the alien, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, or they're like, let's fight the Justice League for six issues because it'll be cool.
Right.
No, this is a year-long story.
I still think at the same time this is going to piss people off.
Absolutely.
Well, sure.
Because
of
the subject matter.
But they should... At the very least, see the attempt.
It's at least a story that's doing its job.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that even if you are a hardcore Watchmen fan, then feel like you shouldn't touch it and you shouldn't... I think that you should look at this attempt. Because the fact of the matter is that a dying company will use anything it can to continue to stay on its feet. And here we have a DC that wants to do stuff to make money and continue to be on the top of the charts. But then they go ahead and do it right for no reason at all, just because they care. Yeah. And that's important, because not a lot of companies do that, especially big ones like DC.
Yeah.
It's just unnecessary for them. They're big enough to just go ahead and try whatever they want because they can.
Yes.
And they're not. They're taking the time to read into what the masses care about and see if they can continue to pull from that... money tree, if you will.
Yeah. Well, and
respectively.
And they've also made this a special thing, because these four issues, I think, probably might be the only thing we get of the Watchmen this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we had some stuff in Rebirth, and we have this stuff now, and that makes this special. It has not been every week. It has not been something they've dragged out for, at least, you know, in the stories-wise, every issue of Batman. We're going to get to it eventually. No, right. It's, you know.
And I just got to bring it up again. I know we brought it up with Rebirth. How much was the Rebirth comic?
$2.99.
When it came out?
Yeah, $2.99. Yeah.
How much are all these comics?
$2.99.
This is the biggest story they have.
Right now, yep.
And they're going to go $2.99. Where everyone else, when they do a giant crossover, it's a $4.99 at the minimum.
Or something like that.
Usually it's more than that.
Yeah, exactly.
They even in DC. Like,
sure.
All-Star Batman.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. That's way more.
You know?
I mean, I think they have announced that Metal is going to be... I think they announced Metal's going to be $3.99, so even that one's going to be bigger.
This is the biggest story that they have.
There's another company that rhymes with Blarvel.
I wasn't mentioning other names.
No. Yeah.
I didn't see
any names. There's no name.
No names. Just saying.
No, but you're right. And it's going to be over. So
in a month.
In a month. So
it's going to boom. I'm done.
Exactly. So whether you love it or hate it, which we'll have to have discussions if you hate it, it would be interesting.
Well, we might revisit this in like 4 weeks.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good idea.
That would be a good idea.
I also, I'm like a, in a complicated relationship. Like, I feel like someone that's nervous because it's not quick enough to come out once a week, and it's not long enough.
That's funny. I think of all the poor people that have been reading, like, Walking Dead since the beginning.
Monthly. Right, where you have those gaps.
And then he had
hiatus,
is where it was 2-3 months before you got another issue.
It's just...
Oh, God.
It is weird because, as Richie says...
you damn youngins.
We're definitely...
And your damn internet.
Since DC has done this for a year, now this double shipping, it's really hard and weird to go to monthly comics.
Oh, not for me.
Now... It's
not at all. I'm so behind on reading everything. Well, I gotta read this now. I mean, okay.
Not even just that, but when you look for something, you go, oh man, I like that whatever issue of Daredevil, issue
seven
of Spider-Man.
Seven to Eternity. Right.
Yeah, Seven to Eternity. And you go, it's been months. It's been like 2-3 months.
Right.
No, 4 weeks ago is when it came out. But for us, we're like, that's three issues of Batman.
Yeah, what are you talking about? It's crazy. So. It's weird because they set up this quick storyline that you can read.
Pavlov dogged you.
Yeah. Well, and then they hit you with a year wait for the Watchmen stories.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Are you kidding me?
Ding, 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 and you're like drooling.
Yeah, but it's more visual. Every time I see the button, I'm like, oh, God, give me. They're just throwing money at people. I don't know.
That's right.
You just might have nervous tics.
Hey, it happened to the populace, too, because we're sold out.
We are sold out.
So.
True.
All right. That's our gush for now.
Yes.
We will... We'll revisit it after the month, and we'll talk. We'll spoiler the crap out of the entire event, so you better get to reading.
Yeah, we'll have an in-depth talk.
Re-add your books
before you listen to us talk about them. Form your own opinion. Tell us we're wrong.
And if you're Holtzot of ours or Holtzot in any comic book stores or whatever, put these orders in now.
Absolutely.
Make sure. Do not wait for Saturday. Do not wait for Thursday afternoon.
Because you're going to miss it.
You're going to miss it.
Don't wait for Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. Go make sure if you have a Holtzot somewhere, make sure that they have it down for you.
I felt so bad because people were I got off work early. I'm here. They're gone.
They're
gone. What? I'm sorry.
But it's like 4 o'clock.
It just happens.
Yes. And we were limiting things to one per person.
We've doubled and tripled down orders before.
We should put that out there too. So. They were only allowed to buy one.
It wasn't like everyone bought 5 copies of each.
Oh no.
They bought 1 copy and they're gone. So again, you know, just putting that out there. We're trying to get more right now. I think we have a way to get some more. Thank goodness. We'll see.
We'll see.
So
working on it.
Yep.
You know what I'm going to do in a month though? I'm going to read Rebirth and then the whole thing.
That's a good idea. We'll do that. We'll revisit it talking about Rebirth and the button.
So good.
So.
All right. Until next time, we will see you then.
All right. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Later.
And where? It's the Batman.